Good evening, everybody. 7:31, we're ready to start the regular council meeting of Tuesday, September 17, 2019, at 7:31 p.m. First order of business, call to order, and then pledge allegiance. Everybody stand, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
One of the worst parts of the meeting is the reports of our deceased residents. This would be from our, since we didn't have a meeting in July or August, these are some of our residents, and one of them isn't a resident. It was actually one of our Sandy Green, who works for the village, running out our event center, and so we listed her. So I'd like to recognize Clark Baylock, Sandy Green, Ronald LaMarca, Randy Zabel, Dean Speck, and Madeline Tim. If you can have a moment of silence to pray for them and all our active duty service personnel.
Present.
Brenner Miller.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Kurlowski.
Here.
Nielsen.
Here.
Bitsnagel.
Here.
All of council present, along with our fiscal officer and our law solicitor, ADI County's our fiscal officer, and John Monteller, our law solicitor. Do I have a motion to receive and file council caucus minutes of September 17, 2019?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to receive and file council caucus minutes of September 17, 2019.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Fred Nielsen.
Councilperson Lindell?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Kurlowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Bitsnagel?
Yes.
Okay. Minutes approved. Persons, item number six, persons having business before council. State your name and address, please.
Denny Harkai, 7120 Hickory Drive. I want to make reference to two recent posts that were on the Walton Hills community page. Post number one. A resident said, quote, "My signs disappeared last night. Wonder what might have happened to them." Quote number two, Councilman Brian Spitznagel said, "Sounds like they need to be bigger so they're harder to carry." It's indeed a shame that we have a thief among us. But it's an even bigger shame that we have a councilman who publicly endorses and encourages violations of our laws. Myself, along with everyone in this room who is a resident, is paying you, Brian, with our money to serve our best interests, and we are entitled to have reasonable expectations. Do not post messages that encourage folks to violate a village ordinance regarding the size limit of campaign signs. Do post a message admitting that you have made an error in judgment and that you do not support defiance of our laws. Further, as long as I'm paying you to work for me, I have some other expectations. You opened the door on this one yourself, and you said on several occasions, this is a quote from emails, "Dear Denny, your email has been returned unread. If there's anything I can do for you in my capacity as a councilman, please don't hesitate to contact me. Have a pleasant day, Brian. Well, here's my response. Yes, there is. Number one, accept your responsibility as an elected official and answer my questions, rather than saying, as you said, or have, on several occasions, that you are not reading my messages. By the way, when you copy 36 residents with your response, this does not speak favorably of you to them either. Number two, since there has already been way more than enough bad publicity for Walton Hills, do not send out any more negative, hurtful mailers that just smack of hatred and anger. Even if what you say is true, here I would respectfully add that neither you or me or anyone else in this room is really qualified to be casting stones. I quote what you say in your mailer. We do not need this kind of publicity. You would make yourself look, you would make yourself and Walton Hills look a lot better if you send out messages that contain positive, uplifting, kind, encouraging words that tell the wonderful features of the candidate or candidates that you are supporting in the election this November. If you are willing to do this, please be sure to list the numerous benefits that we residents will gain by voting in a way that you suggest. What else can you do? I got something you could do right now, not later. Tell us all 5 or 10 of the most worthwhile things that you're going to do in the next 2 years that will make life better here in Walton Hills.
We're not going to debate. We're not going to debate. We don't do that. We never have. We allow residents to make comments, and we not allow people to respond. But I'm not going to allow people to debate. That's not what this forum is for.
Those are my comments.
Okay. And Denny, you know that. We're always fair that way, and we've done that for years. This is not a place to debate. We allow people to make comments, and people to respond back.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I would say that. Mr. Mayor.
Yes, go ahead.
Robert, are there any sign ordinances? Can we enforce any ordinances as far as the amount of signage somebody has? Or maybe I can address that to Mr. Montello.
So our current code is any zoning lot in the village is permitted 8 signs. And they must be 6 square feet or less, which is the size of a real estate sign. I did let Mr. Montello know that we were challenged years ago on our enforcement of signs. It crossed over to First Amendment rights. That's out of my wheelhouse. And I will take Mr. Montello's direction on that.
Mr. Montello, what's the story on the size of somebody's sign in their yard?
There was a recent United States Supreme Court decision that deals with what a village or a city can do in regards to signage, which pretty much you have to be neutral, confident. We have to look at our sign ordinance and revamp it. So at this time, I would not put any limit on any signs until we had an opportunity to review the changes in the law, which will be coming up in the near future.
So I did write that. I wrote something to the fact that sounds like you need a bigger sign so people couldn't walk off with it. It's a shame, and you did mention Mr. Harkai about a thief in the village, but you kind of glossed over that. It's a shame that, and somebody said it was probably kids. It wasn't kids. It wasn't an adult acting like a kid, most likely. I bet my next paycheck on that. That there's a thief in the village, and that thief trespassed on private property to remove a sign that he or she, most likely he, was not liking. So yes, I did say that. It was sarcastic. As a matter of fact, what I meant was, you remember the old Burma-shaped billboards? That's what I would do if I was that property owner, and I don't mind saying it. Your emails to me have progressively been more childish and name-calling. That's exactly why I don't respond to your emails anymore. I will not get involved with going back and forth with you on nonsense that you bring up. I work for you, and I work for all the residents of this village. I don't work specifically for you. You're not my boss. You can vote no. As a matter of fact, I told you, I will put you in the no column for the next time I run. That's fine. I will also, if you have a legitimate concern, and note that word, legitimate, Mr. Harkai, you can always call me, and I will do whatever I can to help you as I would for any other resident. Mr. Olazinski across the street had my name on two signs that my kids had to look at going on the school bus years ago. Guess who he called for help, and guess who helped him? It was me. Okay? Don't ever tell me that I work for you. I don't need to be reminded that I work for you. I work for all of these residents. And don't send me emails threatening and more. Anybody knows, you have copied a lot of people on those. And I've gotten a lot of phone calls on those saying, why are you even responding to this guy? If you have a legitimate concern for me, please, always, you're always welcome to ask me. Like you did with your racetrack when you came up to me asking me for money, and I gave it to you. But stop the emails, stop the childish behavior, because that's exactly what you're doing. You're acting like a child. I'm done.
Anybody else? Any other residents? Come on up.
Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
Mr. Harkai, you had made a comment to Brian about having reasonable expectations, and I agree with that. And I think Brian's comment on the community page was to be light. But in all fairness, Brian did not say break the law. He said get bigger signs. So I don't think it's appropriate to make that jump to break the law and disregard our laws for Brian. I don't think that's fair to him. Thank you.
You know, before we start, I just want to make one comment, not on either side, but as far as media pages, those aren't sponsored by the village. Okay, we have a Facebook page and we have a website. Those media pages might have Walton Hills as the title, but they're not something that we pay for or we support. I'm not saying, anybody can go on there, or a councilman can go on there, or any resident can go on there. It's freedom of speech. But they are not the views of the village, okay? We have our website, we have our Facebook page, and we have our journal, okay? I just want to make that clear, because I've had people say, oh, you're not answering questions on that. Well, that's a media page, that's social media. In fact, most directions from most public officials and stuff is not to get into the media page unless it is sponsored, is a sponsor by your community or, let's say, like the state legislature, their state pages. So I just want to make that clear. When people use, they talk about a media page, it's nothing the village is supporting, because we certainly don't want to see anybody go back and forth, or sometimes people have one opinion about somebody and stuff. And I just want to make that clear. The village isn't paying money to support it. Those are media pages, as said there. I'm not saying anybody misrepresented it. I'm just letting people know what is sponsored by the village and what isn't. Thank you. Go ahead.
I don't have anything to say about the Facebook post. Don't look at Facebook.
No, I was just addressing everybody.
Lee Nielsen, 1625 162-120. When we got started with this, Mayor, you said we're not going to debate this. We're not going to have a debate about this. And I, as a resident, am really distressed that there is this back and forth in this room, and that a resident is being chastised by a council member. I do have expectations of the council members, and one of the expectations is that they treat residents kindly, even residents that they disagree with. And I have seen over months back and forth between Mr. Spitznagel and Denny Hartnett, where Mr. Spitznagel has been extremely rude. That's my thing, okay? I don't think this is a forum where we allow council members to chastise somebody from the bench. I think it's inappropriate, and it's actually kind of appalling. You can put me in the no category if you want. I don't know what's going to happen in 2 years. But I really expect, as a villager, that we treat each other with respect. It does not feel that way tonight. That's all I have to say.
No, and very,
I think we need to treat each other with respect. That didn't happen.
Very, very good point. Okay, and I'll say answer that. I've been up here as a council person for a long time. I've been at where we use this right here for how long a person can talk. Okay, I've watched it where you get what I think this is a 1 minute or 3 minute hourglass. Then after a minute, this person would say, "Give him my time." So we found out that didn't work. Okay, because everybody wanted their chance to speak. Okay, there's some council members, including myself, who felt this is a place for residents to voice their opinion. And when we did try to eliminate that, residents got very upset. As far as debating back and forth, I guess I'm not I can't chastise a council person. I'm not their boss. Okay. I more or less kind of work for them. They're like the board. I'm the CEO and they're the board. That's kind of how this government is set up. They legislate and they appropriate. They approve the funds. Now, the other thing I will say, I have sat there. And I've had residents come up there and say things to me that I felt I needed to defend. Okay, I'm not saying that's the situation. That would be up to Mr. Spitznagel to say whether or not he needed to defend his position. I know one thing, when I was there, I felt I had as much right to my freedom of speech as the person, whether I work for them, whether it's in these chambers. The only thing I can say, if we felt in this body here, council feels that we should limit what the subject is people talk about, whether it just be to this agenda and not allow those comments, I would agree to it. I would have no problem with that. But I'm not certainly going to take away as mayor and say, let's not allow people to voice their opinion. Because I've been on both sides, it didn't seem to work. I think over the years, people have said actually the opposite, whether they like what they hear or they don't like to hear, they like having a forum where they can voice their opinion. We've always encouraged people to come to a COW meeting, because a COW meeting is more of an open meeting. You know, here we're trying to pass legislation. We've already talked about it, so we always try to tell people, come to your COW meeting. It's an open meeting. It's a little more relaxed. Talk about it. It's a working session. We talk about the legislation, anything else. We allow residents to talk at that time. Here we're ready to pass legislation, but we do have council comments, and they've been on here for a long time. You know, we're open. I would say, Lee, as many people feel that we shouldn't have, there's probably a lot of people like the idea that they can come up and voice their opinion. And as far as whether council feels, you know, that's a judgment call, I'll tell you, as a council person. I will tell you this, it's not easy being in anybody's shoes up here. You know, we all know that local government is the toughest government because the people we're serving is our neighbors, our friends, and people you see every day. There's no layers in between, so appreciate the constructive criticism. Any comments?
I'll address Mrs. Melissa. You're right. I can't argue with anything you say, except I would kindly challenge you to show me in any email that you have where you said I was extremely rude, because I don't believe I ever was. I could be corrected on that. As far as respect, I try to, and I do my best with that, but I tend to give the respect that I get, and everything that has come towards me has come towards me first, as opposed to going my way that way first. But I agree with you. And with this current event, if you want to say I'm rude by not answering, by just not answering and not reading the emails, that, you know, that's your prerogative. I don't know what specific thing you said I was extremely rude at. And there is something that I may have to apologize for if you show me and I say, oh yeah, that was pretty right of me to say or whatever. I'm not above doing that. But I tend to give the people the respect. That's a two-way street that they show me. And it's not only my opinion, but the opinion of several other people, that you can just watch the escalation in the emails. And I said no more. I'm not going to participate in that. I have too much time that's valuable to me that I can't spend doing that. So that's where it is.
Any other residents, council comments? Go ahead. You okay? Okay.
Go ahead.
You guys work it out.
Great dinner, 2409 Jefferson Drive. I don't care whose name is on this sign that we're talking about at the corner of Dunham and Alexander. It is very childish to put the sign up like that. I don't care if it had Don Collegraff's name on it, John Montell's sign on it, or who's sign on it. Name on it, excuse me. All I can say is this village has paid a lot of money to beautify this village. Here we got an eyesore of a house with nasty words and names on it. That's not necessary. I think that something should be done about changing the sign and saying they don't want this person, but not so crude and ugly. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. Go ahead, Susan.
My name is Tim Water. This is 7677 Dunham Road. I'm the guy with that sign. And I will not apologize for it. I'm sorry that you're offended. I don't think that there's anything vulgar. He mentioned that we spent a lot of money beautifying the village. Well, unfortunately, we spent a lot of money on litigation for our former mayor, the person whose name is on those signs. This man is costing us a lot of money. Our taxpayers' dollars are going towards his poor behavior. I'm not okay with it, and I'm going to voice that. It was settled. To me, settled means he did something wrong. Otherwise, we wouldn't be settling. And where is he to speak for himself now? Where is he? Why doesn't he speak to what he's done? He's not, because he's a coward. So, my signs are up there, and yes, they were stolen. Somebody took my signs. They came on my property, and they stole my signs. They were small signs. Unfortunately, because my signs got stolen, they had to get bigger. And I'd like to say, in Brian's defense, that in all of my dealings with Brian, he's always been responsive. Brian has been the one person on council that I can go to that I know will actually research what we're discussing. he's not researching how to restrict. He's researching the actual topic and how we can be reasonable in creating good legislation. The man has done nothing but good by me, and I think that what the mailer he put out, he's just trying to inform us. I think the other gentleman, I can't even say gentleman, he's not a gentleman, the other person that's running for mayor, he doesn't want to speak to things. He just wants to kind of gloss over things and let us think that everything is fine, but he's not addressing the issues. He's not addressing how he's cost us money. So I would like to defend Ryan, and Mayor, I'd like to say that I appreciate the opportunity to speak, and I appreciate the fact that you allow council to respond. The previous mayor would stifle and not allow anybody to speak in response, and he would say at the end of the meeting, we may or may not get to it. And normally he didn't get to it because he didn't want to address it. He wanted to keep us all quiet because he was running the show. It was the Kevin Hurst show, and nobody else could speak. You go along with what he says, or he's going to make sure that your voice is quieted. So I will not apologize for the signs. I will change the signs as I find out more information about this person and what he's done to our village. I will change the signs, and I will allow you all to know what it is that he has done. Thank you.
Any other residents? Yes, go ahead.
I'd like to make a comment. It's been a few years now, but there was a house on Egbert, and there was a pile of manure in the front yard. And there was a sign in it. It was when Hillary Clinton was running. Oh, sorry. A few years back, their first house, when you come to Walton Hills, he since is deceased. There was a pile of manure in his front yard, and he had a sign in there for Hillary Clinton. It wasn't for her, it was a derogatory sign that she's full of you know what. Well, he could have that sign according to the law, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, but you know what? He didn't have it up there very long, because somebody went up there and talked to him about it and said, do you think that's really proper? With something like that. And I kind of feel the same way. You gotta put something on the sign, can it be respectful? About a month ago, I was at a party, picnics. Talk about your children? Do you have children?
No.
Okay, maybe someday you will. Okay, so I was at this pig roast. I had a friend with me who's not from Walton Hills. She goes, you see that sign over there? Caddy Corner from, I'll say it, the Hearst resident, was a sign. Hearst was the worst. It was a pig roast for his daughter and son-in-law, who it was their birthday. And all his family was there. And he has about 8 grandchildren. And they're reading that sign, Hearst is the worst. I think that's nice for his grandchildren to see. Would you like your kids seeing something like that? And you know what? Now you smile, you know it's you. And right next to that is a wooden thing where you have children's books. Now I think that's kind of contradictory, don't you? What are you teaching your children? Change your signs, grow up, you too.
Steve Valve, 15153 Alexander Road. I just wanted to clarify, Ms. Gloria, that the sign said a vote for Hearst is a vote for the worst. It didn't say Hearst is the worst. You took that out of it, and that's a shame. That's it.
That's a shame.
Josephine.
Josephine, 17854 Edward Road. I want to explain something. I didn't put the sign in the horse manure. I'm only one that has horses. The gentleman who hauled my horse manure out, he had a right to do whatever he wanted to do, but that wasn't me putting it in the horse manure. I do want to say, we ought to come up with, after all this, with an ordinance on signs, because we used to have one, and I don't know if it's still in the books, where any political sign had to be 70 feet from the road. And when we had a debate years ago with a friend of mine about what he wanted to do, what we didn't want to do, we measured the sign 70 feet from the road. And along came the realtors who had their sign close to the road, so there was a lawsuit that he won, oh, about 25, 30 years ago. So why don't we have an ordinance, the size of the sign, how far from the road it is, so everything looks uniform, instead of having signs all over, you know, along the berm of the road, on people's properties. So this way it'd be some uniformity, and I don't know if that is still in effect, that any political sign had to be 70 feet from the road or not. But we remember that, and there was a lawsuit that he won when realtors did not put it 70 feet from the road. So that's just an interesting question. Thank you.
Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just remind my colleagues and the audience that free speech is protected zealously in our country. And to go a step further, political speech is protected even more zealously. So I think we should all remember that. Thank you.
Steve Elk again. Gloria, I have two daughters, and they're growing up to be wonderful young ladies, okay? I teach my daughters that they should not put up with people who are bullies, who do nothing but chastise people and talk derogatory to people. I don't think anything, there was no foul language in my sign. It just said, a vote for Hearst is a vote for the worst. That's all it said. So what I'm teaching my daughters, just so you're aware, is that it's not okay to be treated like a piece of garbage. That it's not okay to be walked all over. That they have a voice, and that voice is theirs to tell everyone in the community how they feel, and not hide like it seems like everybody always wants to anymore. It's not okay what Mr. Hearst has done to a lot of employees in this village. And for you to sit there and pass out his petition to get signed is appalling in myself. That's what I think. It's appalling. You told a lot of villagers and you pushed that petition down people's throats while you were out there petitioning for that gentleman. I'll use that term loosely. It makes me ill that you believe that he's innocent in all of this. He's not. I got news for you. Start talking to the employees, because you're obviously not doing that. Because if you did, you'd have a totally different tune on everything. That's what I have to say.
There were three people in this room that signed that petition. I didn't show it down. Anybody still
here?
Who signed it?
Three,
there were three people that said
all right,
no name on the petition.
Mr. Bell,
when they signed it.
Mr. Bell, we're not going to debate. Yeah. So, thank you. Go ahead, state your name.
Leo Allen, 28120 Logan Drive. Gloria, have you ever been sexually harassed by your employees or by your employer? Put it that way. Have you ever gone to court? Have you ever done that?
Well, I'll tell you what happened to me.
Just yes or no, please.
No. You asked me something and I'm wondering how I can
answer. Yeah, guys, don't
okay. Debate. That's fine. That's fine.
I was grabbed by a finance director in a place that I was many years ago, before we even heard about harassment. And nothing came of that because we didn't have harassment. Well, harassment was always harassment, but yes. No, it wasn't publicized like it is now. This Me Too business has gone so far out of control and everything else.
Oh my God. Point of order, Mayor, please.
Everybody, how many when this started? Jumping on the bandwagon. That's all you've read about me in weeks and weeks and months and months.
Oh, and I came up here for
that. Oh, yeah, I'm glad you did. Maybe you have another question?
Not another question, but if you've gone through what this woman, Nancy, has gone through because of Kevin, you would feel totally different. Because every time this woman's name is brought up or talked about, she's going through the same thing every time, and it gets worse. it gets worse all the time. She's feeling the pain, it's like throwing salt in a wound. Until it happens to you, you can't understand what it's like. And this poor lady has gone through so much, and Kevin has caused all this stuff. I don't care if anyone else feels this way, we all know that you're a Kevin backer, and that's fine. But he has done something horrible, and people know this. How can he show his face is what I don't understand.
He has not, he's been accused, but he has not been charged with anything.
Well, not yet. Give it time. They settled first.
He's not innocent either.
Okay. Anybody in the insurance business,
well,
that's what they do.
All right.
They settle when they believe they can't win.
I feel that way about them, me too.
Because I know the truth in this situation. Why do I know this? You were there when she was harassed and all this happened.
Why?
Okay, well, just, so don't accuse somebody and don't be saying all these things.
I didn't accuse. You weren't either.
But I know the players.
Oh, well, I do too.
Okay, let's not debate.
Thank you.
Any other residents?
I was one of the persons who signed the petition for Mr. Hurst in order to be able to get on the ballot. If Mr. Kornblatt or Kathy would have come to my house to sign the petition for mayor, I would have signed it too. So all three persons have the chance to be on the ballot. So if anybody tells me it's a shame to sign anybody's petition, I think that person is very unjust. Thank you.
Any other present?
Good evening, Mayor Kornblatt, members of the council.
Good evening.
My name is Raymond Wheaton, 19346 Rashall Drive, Waltonville, 44146. Mayor, I just wanted to address a letter that I sent to each of you this morning, and I want to read it to the record. It just says, Honorable Donald Kornblatt, Mayor of Village of Walton Hills, 7595 Walton Road, Walton Hills, Ohio, 44146. I am writing concerning two resolutions on the Tuesday, September 17, 2019, Village of Walton Hills Council Caucus and Council Meeting Agendas. Specifically, Resolution 2019-23 and Resolution 2019-24. I am requesting that you, Mayor Kornblatt, the law solicitor, or council provide full disclosure and more details to the general audience in attendance at today's council caucus meeting prior to any vote on said resolutions. Number one, specifically resolution 2019-23, please disclose or publicly disclose all terms of the release agreement regarding Cuyahoga Common Please, case number CV-18-901156. Please disclose the total amount of legal fees paid either by the Village of Walton Hills or by the insurance policy. Please disclose the insurance deductible amount for the case. Please disclose any findings related to Mr. Kevin Hurst or Mr. Denny Linville. I want to go back to this item 1A. We heard something from the law solicitor about maybe employee handbooks. I just think we need, the residents who want to be clear, need to be clear on what is in the agreement. So when I ask the question, all terms, if there's an employee handbook, if there's training, if there's whatever it is, could we please hear what all of the terms are for this release agreement? I know you guys are going to talk about it a little bit more, but I just wanted to make that perfectly clear with why I was asking those questions.
But, Ray, I can answer. We received your email this morning, okay? You know, and what I did with that I called Mr. Montello, and what he did, he contacted Jim Clymer, who's the attorney for the village that handles this case, and, you know, he did give him a response, which I have here. Some things at this point, like Mr. Montello said, aren't able to disclose, and some things we are. We will disclose everything. This body here has no reason not to. By law, any public record you can get, you know, most of that is right on the court docket, okay? But we have, that's all, we would release it. So whatever we can say, we'll say. Now, if we're told we can't, because it is, you know, by law they can't, maybe for protection of either party, then we wouldn't, of course, because, you know, that's the law. But we will release anything to that. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we have no reason not to.
So for the public that's here today, because you don't share just what terms you can't release, I mean, if you guys are preparing to vote on this legislation, whether it be by suspension or whether it's first read, I think the audience here today is entitled to also know what it is that you're going to be voting on. So I'm just asking if there's...
What we're voting on specifically is the sum of the money. That, and we have discussed that, is the sum of the... Which is right on the front page.
That's But the resolution speaks to all other... speaks to other terms. And that's where I'm asking. The $60,000 is clear. But what are the other terms of this release period?
The village of Walton Hills will complete an employee handbook to put in effect 90 days from the date of this agreement, which was August 19th. We already have an employee handbook that's, I don't know, quite
within 90 days.
And then there was a settlement confidentiality part to it, but obviously we're not doing that anymore. That was one of the things that council and mayor insisted that we not do. So we eliminated that from the release, and but the parties did agree, meaning the employee, the former mayor, and the councilman did agree to not disparage agreement. So they're not allowed to say bad things about one another. If one party contends there's a violation of the non-disparage clause, parties agree to mediate that matter before any lawsuit is commenced. Other than that, if there was any tax consequences, sometimes in these settlements there's tax issues, which is kind of complicated for this discussion, but if there are any tax issues, this plaintiff, this is over mine, would have to pay that from herself. We're not 100% sure if there are any tax consequences. Usually personal injury money is tax-free, but there's been a little shift in the law now that employees, if it's related to wages, which this was not a lost wage claim, but clearly you do have to pay tax consequences. But this case, because of the evolving law, we just said, well, if there are any tax ramifications, that'll come out of the settlement, and she agreed to that. And then it was subject to council's approval. So that's basically it. That was the bullet points. And, you know, we'll get a more detailed release spelling that out once you guys approve it, that if you go on incurring attorney's fees and drafting without the key component here, the $60,000 being agreed to. So that'll be forthcoming. And it won't have any additional terms on it. It'll just say you'll fully release each other from anything that has happened beforehand or will happen in the future, you know, maybe not in the future, but that has happened beforehand, from any claims that have arisen from his employment with the village and during her employment with the village. That's about it.
As far as the handbook was put together, but there was a few things I know we talked about in the COW meeting that didn't have, but what we did, we actually, through council and going through talking to them, we partnered with a company called Your Partner in HR. Wheeland Works, Your Partner in HR. It was a person that we brought in to do training after this lawsuit came, was presented to the village. We had training on work environment, sexual harassment, and We like the person that presented it, so we're entering into an agreement with them. Your partner in HR, they'll be actually here a week from, let's see, I think it's the 20th, look at my calendar. But they're coming in to meet the employees, meet the directors of the department, and we will have, you know, a third party. It will give the employees a compliance line. It will give them somebody that will come in on a monthly basis. They will provide training, plus also just a form for if an employee has a problem, they can talk to them. We're too small to have an in-house HR department, so it's something we're going to contract it out. It wasn't a large fee. The employees felt comfortable. We feel as council we're comfortable with them, so we're going to try and see how they work. It's Asanya Wheeland, and then we had Amy Shannon was here, and they're partners. So we're happy to bring them in to avoid any of this. But just to give a better work environment for the employees and have a third party that they can go to if they have a problem. And train all of us, you know, including council and myself, and not just, you know, elected officials along with the employees, anybody who works for the village.
And as far as the other lawsuit goes, that one, there's no conditions other than the payment of the $15,000. And again, they're releasing one another. I think I may have a copy of that draft release if you want me to.
Well, we can always.
But there are no additional terms at the council. We didn't have to take any other actions that, you know, to settle it other than approving the money. But I'll look and just see if I can find it for you to more detail.
I think this council, I know Mr. Spitzing along with the rest of the council, have made it very clear with almost all the litigation that has come before us. It's always been in an open, as much as we can disclose by law. I mean, it's all, anything that's public record, people come in for public records requests all the time, and we fulfill that.
And as to why they settled for that amount, there's really no, I mean, that's between the insurance adjuster and mine, and reviewing the facts of the case. So, I mean, the amount does say that they, I was, you know, $60,000. Not a youth, you know, there was nothing to, because they must have felt some risk, I gotta say. I mean, I think everybody gets that. I mean, the amount of the settlement kind of implies that. So I can't find the release.
That's okay.
But it didn't have any.
Because we'll get you that rate. It's any records request is within a reasonable amount of time, and I think we can explain pretty much, you know, anything. We have no reason not to disclose.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, my final comment is really not for me. It's really for you.
Yeah.
It's a matter of what is the due diligence that council will display in front of the citizens before they vote on a resolution. I mean, this talk about declaring emergency, and we had discussion tonight, where you guys had discussion about suspension or not. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, on matters of these types, that all of the discussion is, like you said, fully vetted before there is any potential vote. That's all I have. That's my concern, and that's our concern.
No, well, that's a good question, because you'll help clarify a lot of things that I think were put out there falsely. Gentlemen, we had an executive session.
I'm going to be concerned about what's in writing on
No, I understand it. But you're asking about us discussing these two pieces of litigation
before voting.
But they were also discussed in the executive session 2 weeks ago, okay? And we did that because certain things, you know, like Channel 19 putting secret meeting, well, it wasn't a secret meeting, certain things you protect both parties, and that's the reason why they allow you to go in executive session for litigation, because they know there's certain things you can't divulge or people don't want talked about in a public forum. So this isn't
Mr. Mayor.
The night that this was talked about. We talked about both of these cases in executive session. We were lengthy. We were in executive session for, I had to look, at least an hour and a half, almost 2 hours, over both these topics.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
Also, I would just like to say, during that executive session was the first time that we learned about any numbers. Okay, that was the first time council was informed of any numbers. So for anybody to put out any other numbers that may or may haven't been, council has not received anything except the $60,000 and the $15,000. There was no emails with any suggestion of $130,000 from anyone. That was the first time we learned about it that evening.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes. Let me just say, if I remember, we pay our insurance company, we have an insurance company which protects the village, and they handle the case, and we pay a deductible, and that's, how that is. So we take the advice, or are given the advice, from that legal person, which is Jim Kleiner, and they give us the stance where the insurance company is, and where they're at with it, and that's part of some of the things that take place. He was actually here, he went into executive session with us, and he is counsel and myself, and our attorney, all the sides and what avenues.
Including the issue of that employee handbook and the other, bullet points that I just went over, that those were also discussed, not just the amount.
Mr. Mayor.
Confidentiality was brought out by counsel.
That's how we got to that.
Removed so they could disclose it to the public.
Mr. Mayor,
yes,
that's exactly it. We had a very long discussion 2 weeks ago, both Brian and I know others felt the confidentiality portion should go out because everyone was asking us and we wanted to be able to talk about it. The only question we're having, I think, right now at this point is whether we wanted first reading or suspension. And after I just spoke to Mr. Spitznagel and Ms. Allen, I'm ready to do suspension because I personally don't want to drag this out any longer. We are going to have to settle this at the $60,000. Otherwise, if we go to trial, Mr. Kleiner made it clear to us, there's a very good possibility we're not going to win and we're going to have to pay a lot more money out. So.
And that would be on our dime.
You don't know if you're going to win or lose. So that's it.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other president share?
Sharon Alexander, 7312 Walton Road. And I have a question about the other lawsuit. I don't understand who brought this, and we're paying them $15,000. Did they lose something by Kevin Hurst doing something in court that affected them? I don't really understand it. Can someone explain it?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different than the other lawsuit. It's more of a, instead of someone suing us for damage, he was, Mr. Allen, he's been in politics for a long time. He understands law a little better than most people. There's another type of action that a person can bring to challenge the actions of the mayor or council or whoever, or one of their employees. And that's what Mr. Allen did. He wasn't asking for any monetary damages. He wanted money paid back to the village. It's all public record. I'm not saying it's a right. I'm not saying he's right or wrong. I'm just trying to explain it to you. It's called a complaint for declaratory judgment, a declaratory judgment, and injunctive relief, meaning that they wanted the clarification whether the mayor's actions and ordinances were passed in an appropriate manner and in a timely manner. I can review it real quick here. It was basically, they were challenging the mayor's court ordinance, which said that the mayor is qualified to serve as a mayor's court magistrate and can pay a certain sum of money, in this case $400, but if an attorney did it, he'd only get $325. But they passed it in 2011, and the attorneys of Mr. Allen alleged that it was in conflict with the Ohio Revised Code stating that the village's legislative authority shall, in the case of a legislature, fix their compensation before their elected term. So in essence, he was asking for a raise during the middle of your term. You're not allowed to do that, you know, no one could vote for a raise that, while they're out. You know, I hope you think about it, but you would probably do that if you allowed them to do it. But, so you're not allowed to increase or diminish your, well, you can diminish, I think you probably could waive it.
No, we couldn't do that either.
Yeah, but if you increase it, the Ohio Revised Code says increase or diminish during the term, you're not allowed to do that. So the plaintiff, Mr. Allen, said that by passing that ordinance, it was inappropriate and violated the law and wanted to, you know, clarification on the law. And he asked that he asked that a part-time position of magistrate from Mayor's Court established that he requested that it could only be a licensed attorney rather than a mayor, which is normally the case in most communities. Most of the time, it's a lawyer that does it and not the mayor. But there are a few mayors that still do it. There was a case in Mazatoni a few years back that said a mayor wasn't qualified, but that seems to have been gone on the wayside, and some mayors are still allowed to do it. But anyway, he received all this money, and they're asking for the money to be returned, and so again, it was dismissed on a technicality on a contract issue about the timing of the lawsuit, since it happened, they could file it until 2014. And the statute of limitations that we argued, or our attorneys argued, was that it should be a one-year statute of limitations, and we won on that argument with the trial courts, and that was the sole issue of why it was dismissed. And so then they appealed it and said, well, wait, this is a little different. This isn't a contract. This isn't elected official. And he said, you know, it's not the same as a contract action, and they were successful in convincing the court to overturn it and put it back to the trial court to determine whether or not it was appropriate or not. But that's where we're at with it right now. And instead of continuing to pursue it, again, the party decided to settle it here for the 15 grand, and that's the only condition that I'm aware of. And whether or not it was correct has not been decided. You know,
So who gets the $15,000, Mr. Allen, for his
Well, it's probably his attorney's fee. I would imagine his attorney's fee is probably all of that by Mr. Allen. So I think that's basically it, his attorney's fees.
So actually, he was looking out for the best interest of the village.
Yes, that's exactly what he was trying to do.
Well, kudos to him.
Yes.
But it's unfortunate it's costing us.
Well, that's the question. We could continue to pursue it, and maybe we would be successful, maybe we would not, you know, at this point. Again, I don't know the exact reasons, but the parties have agreed to settle it rather than push the issue. And again, that's probably not, you know, from our standpoint, it's a financial issue. Again, I think everybody at the time thought that, you know, even though he was going to run for mayor, but in any event, that's his right to do so, you know. Unfortunately, we can't. He has the right to run if he decides to do so, but he hasn't been found guilty of doing anything wrong at this point. But
certainly some of the things that he did were very questionable, and I thought when he started hearing those traffic cases that he shouldn't have been doing that and getting paid extra for it, because he was working as mayor at the time. It was getting paid twice, as far as I was concerned. So
I would assess our risk to be rather high in the case, so I would urge everybody to settle the case.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Lord.
Can I tell you the legal terms? Forget the legal terms. We voted as council. We're going to be the magistrate. He went to school, become the magistrate. They authorized him to be the magistrate. Who gave him the certificate to do this? It wasn't anything hidden. As Mr. Montello said, there are other mayors that are magistrates. And you got $400 for doing a job in the evening, coming in and hearing these court cases. Now, these are not the traffic courts. The traffic speed cameras. That's done by the police department. This is just the police department stuff. We
voted for this. Everyone sitting here on council, don't look down, but you all did vote for it.
No, everybody here did not vote for it.
Well, you were here.
Poor decision.
Yeah, poor decision.
To show it.
No, because nothing has. He's not charged with anything yet. They settled. They settled.
And
they kept fighting it, that's why it cost more.
And to set the record straight, now I'd have to look at the actual voting, and I'm sure Andy can pull that up or Lisa. But when he was initially set in as magistrate, I remember using the argument at that time, because we were paying Mr. Chismar $350 a session. And the proposal was to pay the mayor did $400 a session. And what I said was, why would I, if I had plumbing to do in my house, why would I hire a handyman and pay that person more than I would pay an authorized plumber, licensed bonded plumber, to do the same job and pay that person more? I believe that I did not vote in that initial vote to make him magistrate. I believe I voted no for that. But I could stand corrected. But I do remember making that argument on that. So I'm not saying I voted no. I'm saying I probably voted no.
Yeah, we're getting more money for someone with less experience, and him going to a class, I don't think really gave him the kind of experience he needed to be doing that. And I have a question for my husband. Didn't you go to some of those traffic things that he sat in? And you said there you were there for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, a very short time.
You know, $100.
Now we have Mr. Melling is our court magistrate for regular traffic cases, and Ms. St. John is our for traffic camera cases. But we're down to, we were doing four courts when Mayor Hurst was here. Now we're down to two regular courts and one traffic camera court.
Come on.
Okay, so we have a more qualified person to handle it, and he's doing it half the amount of time, and it's costing us less money, correct?
Correct.
So, for those of you who did, and you're pretty proud of it, you should be ashamed. You're spending money of hours that shouldn't be spent. You sit there and you smile, but you are wrong. You're wrong. Be proud, but you're on the wrong side, and it's going to cost you your job.
I am proud. I'm proud of what you're
doing.
Mr. Mayor, how much is it that the Blair Melling and Janice St. John are getting for their traffic court currently? $325 a session?
I believe so.
$325.
Thank you.
Blair Melling?
Yes. Any other comments?
Ken Jekyll, 7175 Conway Boulevard. It's really, really amazing as what this village has gone through in the last year and a half. I travel all around Northeast Ohio going to car shows maybe 2-3 times a week. And the word Walton Hills comes up, and believe me, it gets everyone's attention.
I'm surprised and astonished at the fact that Channel 19's not here right today, because they look for this, they thrive on it, they publish it, and that's what gets the word out. Going back 6 weeks or 7 weeks ago, I was astonished to the fact that somebody had started a petition to get Kevin Hurst back as mayor. And the people that were promoting it were not only his best friends, but people who knew exactly what he did and what he was responsible for. As far as I'm concerned, the people who did the promotion of this is just as guilty as he is.
Yep.
Thank you.
Any other residents have anything?
Bob?
Okay, we ready
absolutely
to move on to the, we have the mayor's report. For the month of July, this is the Walton Hills Police Department report. The Walton Hills Police Department in July issued 151 citations. The predominant violation was speeding with 41. Citations written, followed by 17 citations written for driving under suspension and 15 citations for expired plates. A good thing for that month, there were no arrests for OBI.
Oh my God.
We don't usually see that, so that's a plus. But you know that's a bad thing. For the monthly mayor's report revenue, for the period of July, our revenue was $22,675.48. For year to date, for that up to the end of July was $175,109. It was up from last year at $142.67. So the court revenue was up. It was up in July too. For August, the Walton Hills Police Department issued 197 citations. Predominant violation was speeding with 84, followed by 14 citations written for driving under suspension, 8 citations for traffic control lights, and there were 7 arrests for OBI. So that was not a good month. So this is to the end of August. Total revenue for the monthly mayor's court was $19,426.15. Year to date, $194,535.69. And last year to date, $166,047.55. So it's up quite a bit. No, that doesn't include the camera tickets. That is correct. That includes the mayor's report. Any council comments? I know we haven't had quite a bit, but that is the next item on the agenda. Any? We can move on to legislation.
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
Have a comment. This was an ugly meeting, to say the least. I know I lost my cool a little bit. I try not to do that. None of us up here, whether you agree with, how we vote every once in a while, or whatever, we're here because we want to help out the village. I'm here because I want to help out the village. The 10 grand I get paid to do this. I've lost more than that in a year for rearranging my schedule. So it's certainly not the money. It's a satisfaction you get when you can help out your neighbors in things. I certainly don't do anything, and I know nobody else out here in our conversations does anything for anybody just because they say, well, I'm not going to vote for you next time if you don't do this, or I'm watching you. Wait till next time. Wait, I can't wait for 2 years from now to not vote for you. That doesn't make us, any of us up here, change our mind on how we're going to vote, and it shouldn't. So it does get a little bit aggravating at times when you hear that constantly by some people. For the most part, I'm proud to be sitting up here with these people. We're doing the best we can. We're charging along, and you certainly have a right to not vote for any one of us if we do choose to run again or not. And that's how you make your voice known. But, I hope you all and all the residents, including us up here, vote, based on facts and what's going on, and not just on opinion. That's all I have to say.
And with that, I'm going to respond to Ken, your comments. This council and everybody that works for the village, we try to emphasize the good, so the village is in a good light, to outshine some of the bad light. And there's a lot of good going on. And we had a very good meeting on Thursday with Phil Robinson, our state rep, well attended, went well, addressed a lot of issues, looked at a lot of things. I feel this council and the administration, we got good things going with the fork, and I wish I could tell you more. But I just want to make the point to you, Ken, the positive part of the village, and it certainly outweighs a lot of the negatives. We all know it's a great place to live. So are we ready to move on to legislation?
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
First comment I would like to make is somebody not being criminally charged does not mean that they're innocent. It just means they weren't charged. As to signs, whatever signs are out there, whether I personally agree with them or not, it would have been nice to have this conversation back in 2011 when my father was being slandered with two giant, right across the street from the village hall, 4x8 sheets of plywood with floodlights on them all night long, along with signs that was at the corner store in the business there too against him. That being said, on a positive note, the First Energy property, the 80 acres that's off of Alexander Road, is being purchased by the Greater Cleveland Metro Parks. One resident, Tony Olsko, who is a developer and in real estate, has worked very hard and tirelessly on his own for no pay to bring these two together. He started it over a year ago, and there was a board member that was against purchasing the property from the Metro Parks. Well, that one board member was retiring on December 31st of 2018. Tony made his first phone call back to the Metro Parks and First Energy on January 2nd of 2019. He's worked tirelessly to help prepare this. One of his very first conference calls, he had 17 people on a conference call between First Energy and the Greater Cleveland Metro Parks. He even got a guy with a drone to GPS the tree lines for First Energy, so they had every I dotted and every T crossed so that First Energy could be sure of the clearance of their electrical lines with this property. The process for a grant was started, and they said it usually takes about a year. When the grant people came out a couple of weekends to walk the property, and they did, they were absolutely thrilled with that property because out of 80-plus acres, there was only maybe developable about 5 acres. It was also estimated that it would cost at least $5 million just to put in roadways and water lines on that property with all the complications of the terrace. So the documents were finalized and signed on August 19th. The grant committee is looking to push that grant faster and farther for the Cleveland Metro Park so we have that green space preserved in the village. And I would just like to say thank you on the record to Mr. Tony Olsko for all of his selfless work in doing this, on all of his own time and energy.
When we had that meeting up at the event center and talked about that balance sheet, he told me there was some concern about it, that it would go to the developer, and they knew at that time, you know, was that the Metro Park would be a good purchaser for that. So very good. Kudos to Tony. Thank you, Jim.
Yep.
Okay, we're ready for the legislation. Any other comments? Okay, ordinance 2019-8. Who'd like to introduce that for
suspension? Mr. Mayor?
Oh, go ahead, Jennifer.
I'd like to make a motion for suspension of ordinance 2019-8, an ordinance amending 260.02 so as to recognize the right of full-time and regular part-time safety personnel to collectively bargain and declaring an emergency.
Is there a second?
Second.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move for adoption of ordinance 2019-8.
Is there a second?
Second.
Councilperson Allen?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Lindell?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance passed.
Mr. Mayor? Yes. I'd like to I'd like to introduce for suspension ordinance 2019-9, an ordinance amending section 1292.11A. paving to comply with current federal and state construction standards and declaring an emergency.
Is there a second?
Second.
Councilperson Terlowski? Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Lindell?
Yes.
Brenner-Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask for adoption of ordinance 2019-9.
Is there a second?
Second.
Councilperson Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Lindell?
Yes.
Brenner-Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Ordinance passed. Ordinance
2019-10. Mayor, I'd like to introduce for suspension ordinance number 2000.
Danny, that one's first reading. Because those have got to go back to the zoning board. That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, just do first reading.
Okay, ordinance number 2019-10, an ordinance amending existing chapter 1294 entitled Conditional Use Regulations of the Codified Ordinances of the Village of Walnut Hills, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Just reading into record.
Okay. How about item D, ordinance 2019-11?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to read for first reading ordinance 2019-11, an ordinance amending existing chapter 1252 entitled Definitions of the Codified Ordinances of the Village of Walnut Hills, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Gloria. Okay. About ordinance 2019-12?
Is this for suspension?
First reading,
okay. Mayor, I'd like to introduce ordinance number 2019-12, an ordinance amending existing chapter 1266, entitled Country Home District of the Codified Ordinances of the Village of Walnut Hills, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Item number F, ordinance 2019-13. Brent, for suspension? Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to introduce ordinance number 2019-13 for suspension. Emergency ordinance enacted by the Village of Walnut Hills, Cuyahoga County, Ohio, hereinafter referred to as the municipality in the matter of the hereinafter described improvement and request the cooperation of the County of Cuyahoga, Ohio, hereafter referred to as the county.
Is there a second?
Second by Gloria.
Councilperson Spitznagle?
Yes.
Linville?
Yes.
Mayor Miller?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Ordinance passed.
Suspension.
Okay, item G, ask for adoption.
I'd like to ask for adoption, ordinance number 2019-13.
Is there a second?
Second.
Gloria?
Councilperson Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Kowalski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes. Now, ordinance is passed. Item G, ordinance 2019-14.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to introduce ordinance 2019-14, an ordinance authorizing all actions necessary to apply and accept Northeast Ohio Public Energy Council, NOPEC, energized community grants in the village of Long Hills, Ohio, declaring emergency.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Brett.
Councilperson Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Kowalski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Linville?
Yes.
Gloria?
I'd like to ask for adoption, ordinance number 2019-14.
Is there a second?
Second.
Councilperson Allen?
Yes.
Kowalski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Resolution 2019-18.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to introduce for suspension, resolution 2019-18, a resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing the necessary tax levies and certifying them to the county auditor and declaring an emergency.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Brian.
Councilperson Terlowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Linville?
Yes.
Brenner
Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
I'd like to ask for adoption of resolution 2019-18.
Is there a second? Second by Brian.
Councilperson Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Go ahead. Resolution 2019-19.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to introduce for suspension resolution 2019-19, a resolution authorizing the mayor or his authorized representative to enter into a contracts with the Director of Transportation to complete the bridge inspection program services, declaring emergency.
Second.
Second by Jenny.
Councilperson Spitznagle?
Yes.
Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Kowalski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'd like to ask for adoption of resolution 2019-19.
Second.
Second by Jenny.
Councilperson Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Kowalski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor,
yes, go ahead, Mayor.
Introduce for suspension resolution 2019-20, a resolution authorizing the mayor and the fiscal officer of the village of Walton Hills to enter into a contract with Specialized Construction, Inc., Specialized, for the 2019 road repair program and declaring an emergency.
There's a second. Second by Fred.
Councilperson Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Linda?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask for adoption of resolution 2019-20.
There's a second.
Second.
Second by Gloria.
Councilperson Allen?
Yes.
Kowalski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Linda?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Okay. Item K, resolution 2019-21.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to introduce for suspension resolution 2019-21, a resolution authorizing the village engineer to prepare bids and specifications for the Edward Road Force main replacement project and declaring an emergency.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mary.
Councilperson Terlowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask for adoption of resolution 2019-21.
Second
by Fred.
Councilperson Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Okay, item I, resolution 2019-22.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask for, is this first read, or for suspension, because that is this Thursday. A motion for suspension for Resolution 2019-22, a resolution proclaiming Thursday, September 19th, 2019, as Father's Walk Day and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Councilperson Spitznagle?
Yes.
Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Kurowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask for adoption of Resolution 2019-22.
Is there a second?
Yes. Councilperson Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Kurowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes. Okay, item M, Resolution 2019-23.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the suspension of Resolution 2019-23, a resolution authorizing the mayor to execute the release regarding Nancy Hildebrand versus Village of Waltonville, Cuyahoga County Court of Common Pleas, case number CD-18-901156, and declaring an emergency.
Is there a second?
Second.
Councilperson Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Kurowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Linville?
Abstain.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I would like to get a comment and then a question. First comment here, and one of the whereas, and so I'd like to add another whereas, because the village, this does mention the $60,000, but it does not mention the $5,000 we already paid. I would like that in the record that we already paid the $5,000 deductible, so I would like another whereas in there that the village already paid the $5,000 deductible for this.
You can make a motion for that, correct?
Sure.
Amend it?
Yes, but sometimes they don't pay it until the end. I'm not certain.
I've already paid it.
Oh, have you? Okay.
So you can make it for that, correct?
Yeah, I did. I'd like to make a motion to amend this resolution 2019-23 to include a whereas stating whereas the village already paid to the insurance company a $5,000 deductible.
Second by President Nielsen.
Councilperson Allen?
Yes.
Kurowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Linville?
Abstain.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I have a question. Based on our conversations with Mr. Kleiner, if we vote no on this and let this proceed, what's his advice to us as far as taking this to court?
From what I understand, he would advise us to settle the case.
Why?
Due to the potential risks involved and the uncertainty of the outcome of the case, I can't say anything. I don't think there's any specific reason, but there was a full day of settlement discussion. I believe they started like at 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning. They weren't done until 4 or 5 in the afternoon, so they debated it for quite some time before they decided to settle the case. And so the reasons. I guess it was just a risk assessment on both parties' side and as to what to do, you know.
And this would go to, if we did take it to court, this would go to a jury trial, correct?
It's, well, it's possible, yes.
I think Ms. Zilbernay requested a jury trial, so if she requested one, does that automatically mean she would get one?
The parties can waive it up to the time of the jury, but yes, she'd probably get it if she needs it.
Did Mr. Clymer give you any indication as far as a jury trial, any potential further loss to the village in regards to a jury trial?
Yes, I mean, it's possible Yeah, but with that, someone mentioned the Me Too movement, you know, the ways, I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying, you know, in today's society, it's likely that possibly a higher award could be, awarded by the jury.
Was Mr. Hurst found guilty of anything?
No.
Was Mr. Hurst found innocent of anything?
No. No findings one way or the other.
Thank you. That's all.
Any other comments from council?
Yes. I had a discussion with some of the employees about this at that time, and an apology was asked for by the mayor in writing so they could feel secure that this wasn't going to continue. I don't think I'm saying anything that hasn't already been said. Well, instead of a heartfelt apology, what they received was a letter stating, if you ever hear anything like this, just come talk to me. And this is the chain of command. There was no stepping out. There was no taking any kind of responsibility for any of this. And sometimes, even if we don't think we've done anything wrong, an apology is necessary to move on. But that was never given. And I firmly believe if it was handled different at the inception of the problem with an apology and a change of attitude, this village wouldn't be in this situation we're in right now. So when I vote yes, it's going to be to put this to bed, even if we can't sleep well.
Go ahead.
One more thing in regards to that apology. You know, if you don't feel comfortable answering this, but before this lawsuit was filed, Mr. Hurst was approached with Mr. Mason by Mary Brenner Miller and then Council President Don Culliver to discuss the issues that were happening. Mr. Hurst, in his deposition, stated emphatically that he had no idea before the lawsuit was presented that there were any indications whatsoever. You met with him for over 2 hours. Explained, and I don't know if you want to go into any details of that or not, but what I would like to get out of it was, what was his final response to both you and Mr. Holograph, if you'd like to share that?
Are you going to say anything?
Oh, no, I'm coming on it. He's asking, I think he was asking.
And either one of you, if you're...
Well, I'll leave you with this, and this is what stuck with me, when we tried to explain to him that it wasn't just Nancy and Carol having a problem, that everyone was having a problem. Excuse me. What I took away was the comment I got. My employees have to learn they work for me. I don't work for them. And I knew at that moment the conversation was over. When you have an attitude that you are not going to work with your co-workers, your employees, you're not going to get anywhere. So I knew we had spent 2 hours for nothing.
And I can confirm what Councilwoman Mary Brenner just said. What happened when the employees called us, we set up that meeting. The reason it was myself and Mary, because I was council president, and Mary
was
chairman of the recreation. And at that time, this was before Nancy, it was concerning two recreation employees. And we did talk for 2 hours. We met up at the park. And we were very very honest, very straightforward, and explained what they were telling us. we pulled no punches. We were very...
direct.
Very direct. That is true what Mary said. We both phoned each other when we pulled away and felt we didn't get anywhere. But just to let you know, before that, we decided we wanted the mayor to meet with Mary and those two employees, and not myself, because we thought, you know, sometimes it's different when maybe there's three people talking to one person versus being the other side. It's almost like sometimes you feel like, here we are, we're up here, kind of like what Lee said, and there's a thing of empowerment, and it shouldn't be. We should all be equal. So what we did, we said, we want you to meet the next day, Mary, and no legal, no Mr. Mason. We thought, talking to Mary, and I thought she certainly understood what was going on, had a very good relationship with those two employees, and it would be them three and the former mayor, and we'd have another discussion. Well, I got a phone call after that from Councilwoman Brenner Miller, and said, Donna, went about the same as the day before. Not very well. And that's it. So to agree with the deposition, that is a false statement, because we had a very open conversation and repeated what the employees were telling us, and said it needs to be fixed.
It was hard to read his deposition.
And that's, I made that clear, we made that clear.
Yes, we did.
We all heard that, that we met with them. That we did, so. Any other comments? As you know, there's been a lot of discussion even in the week. This is our third meeting. This month, the first COW meeting, a lot of things took place. There was a lot of comments back and forth relating to some of those issues. Any other comments relating to this piece of legislation before we...
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Yeah, just wanted to be clear. I talked, you know, with our attorney, and being the newest member on this council, I was in question, you know, I had a question whether, I just didn't feel right voting on this. But the thing is, I'm on this council, and it's my job to help appropriate money the best way that I can for the village and for everybody. I'm also a citizen here in the village, and some of the things that you're talking about were coming to me, even though I wasn't on council. So that's part of the reason I ran for council, and I just want everybody to understand that, again, talking with our legal counsel, it's my job to vote and not to abstain. I just want that to be clear.
Any other comments? Mary?
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean ask for adoption. We've already done the suspension, correct?
Yes.
We got the amendment. We voted on the amendment.
Right.
Oh, Gloria, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You for adoption, Gloria. We did the suspension. We need a new amendment.
Yes.
You got to introduce it for adoption.
Okay, I ask for adoption for Resolution 2019-23.
Council.
Oh, sorry.
Second.
Okay, that's right.
Councilor
Kersenzer Wolowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagel?
Yes.
Lindvall?
Abstain.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Gallen?
Yes.
Resolution 2019 passed. Okay, Resolution 2019-24.
We didn't
have to. Yeah, we did. Did anybody want to make that motion for that one? We weren't sure at that time.
Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Nielsen.
I'd like to
for suspension. Of course, if you guys want suspension.
We probably should.
Okay.
Let's just get it off
for
our plate.
For suspension, resolution number 2019-24, a resolution authorizing the mayor to execute a release regarding Allen versus Village of Walt Hills, E.T. Allen, Cuyahoga County Court of Common Pleas, case number CV-14-830174, and declaring an emergency.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mary.
Councilperson Spitznagle?
Yes.
Lindeville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Kerwowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'd just like you to make it clear that I'm only voting on the suspension at this time.
Yes. And what that means, it allows us to vote suspension. We need 5 out of 6. And that's very common. Why stop the vote, you know, to give suspension?
I have advised her not to vote on the ordinance. Just that this looks improper. She's voting in favor of you know, settlement in the case. So rather than put her in that position, you know, she's not going to vote on it. Other than the suspension to get over.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I had determined already that, yeah, I wasn't going to vote. I have no bone in that game whatsoever. I have nothing to do with it, to be honest with you. I have not even read through the entire case. I know just a little bit.
Okay, Mr. Mayor,
yes.
I'd like to introduce resolution number 2019-24 for suspension.
Adoption,
I'm sorry.
Second.
Councilperson
Lindeville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Abstain.
Kerwowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Yes. Resolution 2019-24 passed. Any old or any new business?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I need to make a motion Mr. Montel here. A motion to refer ordinances number 2019-10. 2019-11 and 2019-12 for review and comment, that's to the Planning Commission, pursuant to section 1256.05.
Is there a second?
Second.
Councilperson Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Kerwowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Lindeville?
Yes.
Motion passed.
And Mr. Mayor, I just have one more thing. All of these, this is just something for future thought. All of these things we voted on tonight were most of them were suspension, which, if you don't know, suspends the three reading rule. All of them were passed under an emergency basis, which an emergency basis removes the right of referendum, it's called, from the residents. If something is not passed under an emergency basis, within, I believe it's 60 days, the residents can get a petition up to have that reviewed and then have it voted on by the general population. I believe, and why I voted for all these tonight under emergency, was they were due emergency situations to get them done and over with. If something is passed not under an emergency, it cannot be signed right away. For example, if we have a road program that we're going out for bids for, if we do not pass that under an emergency basis, well, now we have to wait for 60 days in order to get the to have that passed and then start the process of the road program bidding, which takes another month to do. So that's why we pass those types of things under emergencies. However, there have been times in the past, and I'm sure there will be times in the future where things come up that aren't really emergencies or, get them done, get them quick. The residents have a right to know, and whether they want to show up or read the journal or what, that's on them. But I think a review of whether that's really, really needed, those two items in the future, would do us good, and for transparency and things like that, because we do get called on the carpet, rightfully so, that the residents have a right to know. And, you know, so I just put that out there. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I would just like to thank Councilman Spitznagle for explaining that, because you know that I've personally said, why do we have to constantly do this on an emergency basis? And again, this time, as Brian was explaining, getting grant money, we don't want to wait 90 days for that to happen. You know, in waiting to get bids, we don't want to wait for that to happen. But as a general rule, yes, I am not for every piece of legislation being on suspension. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Old business, hometown heroes, the banners. I did, I put an email out to Councilwoman Gale in Independence, who I've been in touch with. I haven't heard back from her. And I've also put an email into the graphic artist in regards to what type of material he uses. So when I hear back from them, I'd like to have her come and discuss what they did in Independence. And I still think it's a good idea. So we can always move forward after that.
Very good. Hear more. We can have her at whatever meeting.
Yeah, what COW she can make, yeah.
Right. I'm just looking at the calendar now.
I wanted it not the 8th, the week after, because I know you were at
something. Right. The 8th, does anybody else have anything for older new business?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
Company that's going to be coming in to speak with the employees,
yes.
The new human resources, is that next Tuesday, the 24th?
Yeah,
as you said, you thought possibly, but
yes. And I got to put something out. I just got confirmation from them.
Okay, and will they be here all day?
They're going to be here from 2 to 4. I think is the time.
Okay,
but it's going to be an initial visit. They requested with the department heads, but. Because we're so small, I'm going to see if they can kind of touch base with everybody. And then we're going to have to see about off shifts, too. That's something they're aware of, because we run 3 shifts. The police department is also part of it, too. And then they're going to add a few things to the handbook, which is their number. So in that handbook, there will be a third-party number, a compliance line they can call, and they don't have to share with anybody their complaint or even the concern. I'm hoping it works out well. So we'll see. The employees will have, they'll be able to voice their opinion. I mean, that's, to that, they have a pretty decent sized staff, so if they're not comfortable with one person, they can talk to another person. I'll let everybody know if you want to come in and meet them too.
Yes.
That day. But we're going to have more than one day because people aren't here. We're
certainly.
Going to have to accommodate. We want everybody. Then right after that, they'll start there. They're going to have a theme for each month that they come in. Whatever theme that is, you know, whether it's diversity, whether it's the,
inclusiveness,
work environment, whether it's benefits, anything to do with HR.
Okay. Along with that, are we going to have another session about hostile work environments, harassment scheduled
yes.
this fall?
That program they did with us, they said that's a yearly program, and that will be coming up.
Okay.
So, and then anything they're going to gather, we're going to use their expertise. They're going to see what kind of work environment we have and what the employees say, and, wherever we're weak in, that's where they're going to focus, too. That's what we expect them to do, It's not going to be me using an HR person when it works for me or works for any other department head. They're going to be a resource that the department heads can use or I can use, but they're also going to be a separate entity to advise us because that's their expertise.
Mr. Mayor, one other question, or maybe Mr. Montello, you could answer. Is there any legislation that we need so that this type of format is maintained with the village?
How long is the contract for? Is it a month or
two? We haven't set. It's they work on a month-to-month basis. We were going to enter into a year just to tell them a year. It's going to be they haven't asked me to sign a contract. It's going to be how it works out. You know,
but
I don't want to enter into long-term, because what if they're not fulfilling what they promised?
No, I don't mean with this company in particular.
Right.
But so that the village has to follow this type of format from now on. Somebody can't just get rid of this third-party human resources.
Well, you know, what Jennifer's saying is, so let's say one of us, let's say the mayor here, since I'm the one who signs it, even though I would, you know, let you go because it's over my 5,000, I decided to say, okay, I don't like what they're doing, I get rid of it, the council doesn't know about it. In other words, should there be an ordinance in place that says we have to maintain some type of...
A type of human resource, outside human resource service.
Why don't we put that on the next COW? Okay. We can put that on the next COW and we can talk about it at that time.
We can add this 260 to section 260.
Right.
The employees generally, maybe we can put it in that section in there, just like your proposal. This employees hiring and firing.
Right. And that's something you can share with them too. Maybe they'll have something as far as that too. Any other?
No, Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to remind everybody that Candidates Night is going to be on October 10th at 7 p.m., and it has been changed. It was originally put in the aisle that it was going to be at the community room. It will be at the community center. So please let everybody know that that venue has changed to the community center instead on that date.
And, Mr. Mayor, with that being said, I will be out of state that day. There was some family planning prior to the date of Candidates Night, so unfortunately I will not be able to be there.
Okay, I just have a few things. Of course, we have a morning meeting with the mayor tomorrow. That's 9 to 11, right across the hall here. Hope to see everybody there. You can come and kind of go through this whole thing again if you want. I don't know if I want to, but you can ask any questions. If I can answer them, I'd be glad to answer them, or any of the department heads that are there. We also, October 8th, which is our second COW, Andrea Selico, who's the superintendent for Bedford Schools, she has been going around. She's hit Oakwood and Bedford. She set up meetings with Bedford Heights and ourselves. She wanted to come to the COW meeting to discuss just the infrastructure of the Bedford school system. People had questions on their decision with the Chanel High School, with the demolition of it, and where the other schools are at. So she sent me an email and said, I'd like to make an appointment. And I said, I think that a COW would probably work best. She felt we had a meeting actually on the 24th. I said, but our next meeting is the first of the 8th, and she said she'd like to come to the 8th meeting. So is the council okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. She said she's got about a 10-minute presentation on that. And then we'll field any questions from the residents or council. She kind of just wants to tell us the state of their infrastructure. I think that's all I have. Any other council members have any? Okay, then we have a motion for adjournment.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn the council meeting on September 17th at 9:25.
There's a second. Second by Mr. Nielsen.
Councilperson
Nielsen?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Lindo?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned at 9:25.
Sorry, Mayor.
That's all right.
Thank you, everybody. Good night, everybody. Have a nice day.